Let us pray. Now, gracious God, may the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. For this topic of responding to those in need, I would invite your attention to Mark, the first chapter, and verses 40 through 45. A leper came to him begging, kneeling, and said to him, If you choose, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I do choose, be made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourselves to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. I believe there are many ways to look at this passage. Let me begin by lifting up that this is the close of St. Mark 1. The chapter opens with this word, Hear the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. In verse 4, Jesus' ministry begins. The kingdom of God is near. Turn from your sins and believe the good news. Jesus would call disciples and would tell these fishermen, I want you to put down your nets and come and fish for people. Those who would listen to him knew that there was something different about Jesus. And they said of him, He has taught us as one who has authority, not as scribes and Pharisees. Jesus would heal. He would cast out demons. And large crowds would come to follow him. But there is something different about this man that we read about in verses 40 through 45. This man was a leper. This man was a leper. EWG Mastermind described this condition as, no other disease reduces a human being for so many years to so hideous a wreck. William Barclay added, The disease is repulsive, and people are repulsive to others and repulsive to themselves. A part of this disease was that a person was an outcast. An outcast from the temple and from the synagogue. The priests and religious leaders wanted nothing to do with them. The course of this disease was thought to be 9 years. Imagine this kind of life. And I will add again that for the leper, there was no pastoral care, for they could not even speak to the priests. They lived their life unclean. They lived their life as an outcast. To say that a leper was in need really doesn't capture all of what was happening and what they were going through for this person. The leper may have been dismissed by all those who were around him, but his life changed when you come to that 40th verse. The leper came begging to Christ and said, and this is in the Revised Translation, "You can make me well again. You can make me well again." Let me go ahead and make the leap right now and say that we are all lepers. We are all lepers. This is the nature of sin. For Romans 3 and 23 declared that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is separation from God. Sin is alienation from God. Sin is when we say that I will reject what is the will of God for my life. Sin is when we claim the words of that old Sinatra song and we take it literally. I did it my way. I have often struggled with what theological camp to be a part of when it comes to this issue of sin. I don't believe that I am a conservative, because for so many of my conservative brothers and sisters, there can be a tendency to be judgmental, to look down and to dismiss others, and don't recognize that for the sinner, for the worst of sinners, forgiveness is offered. And I have a hard time being with my liberal brothers and sisters, because sometimes I hear from them dismissing sin and not considering what its consequences are all about. It is as if they would offer grace with no accountability. That is why, and yes, Aaron, you're making a plug. Yes, I am. That is why I encourage you to come to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Come to the children's class. Come to the youth class. Come to seekers class. Come to Bible study. And come out and be with us on Wednesday evening. And let us know what it is that you're thinking about. For that is the way that we can all grow together. Let me return. So my own personal thinking is that sin is real. And in the death and the resurrection of Christ, salvation then is extended to all. And for this leprosy, there is healing. There is healing in the power of prayer. The leper says to Christ, "If you will, you can make me clean." There is something about the power of prayer. It lifts us to a whole new place. A young man would stand up in church and he would pray. And he would pray and he would pray. And finally, an older man came to him and said, "You know, there's something about your prayer. You mispronounce your words. You need to stop and to pause. There needs to be a comma in some of those places." The young man looked at the older man and said to him, "I was not talking to you." Well, you laugh. Maybe there's hope for us. Amen. For the Christian, prayer should be like breathing. Just as breathing is the response of this physical life to the presence of air, so prayer should be the response of our spiritual life to the presence of God. So prayer, listen to those words. So prayer should be the response of our spiritual life to the presence of God. Let me think. Let us think for a moment about our prayer life. It has to be real and authentic. John Bunyan wrote, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." Let us think about our prayer life. Our prayer life must be filled with expectation. It was Nancy Spielberg who wrote, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain in asking for just a small drop of refreshment. If only I'd have known better, I'd have come running to you with a full bucket." Let's think about our prayer life. If our prayer life is full and complete, then we can experience what is the touch of Christ. To Christ, the leper was not unclean. He was a person in need. And there is something about the power of prayer. We can feel the compassion. We can feel the mercy. We can feel the love of God. Compassion, mercy, love, in these things, there are our greatest need. The greatest need that a person may have. This is the need for the body. And in this touch, the body can be made whole. It doesn't mean that we will never know of sickness, that we may never know of what it is to have pain. It doesn't mean that at all. But we can be made whole in that our spirit, in the midst of whatever we may be facing, our spirit is whole. Our soul, the very essence of who we are, our soul, in the midst of whatever we may be facing, our soul is whole. For you see, we are not what we see on the outside. It is what we see on the inside that really, really matters. I tell this story often, and I think I've told it here, but it's one of my favorites, and that is the child who was given a gift by his parents. And it was one of those dolls that you could just knock over. And he was enjoying knocking it over. But he noticed something. Every time he would knock it over, it just bounced back up. He went to his parents and he said, "You know, I've been knocking it over and it just bounces back up. It's almost like it's standing up on the inside. Standing up on the inside. That is the challenge for us. To stand up. To stand up. To stand up on the inside. We should offer what is our greatest need. Our greatest need to God in prayer. Our mission statement together. As Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, we believe that God loves all people, and as disciples of Jesus Christ, we strive to share God's love through our words and actions. Go forth knowing that your greatest need is met. Go forth and meet the needs of others. In Christ's name, amen.